On this 4th of July, commentator Amy Alexander contemplates the price of freedom.
I live in Silver Spring, Maryland, just outside of the District of Columbia. Not long after we arrived here last June, I noticed an interesting thing happening periodically in my new neighborhood, the thud, thud, thudding of helicopters in the sky above my home. In short order, though, I learned where most of these helicopters were heading, Walter Reed Army Hospital. There are actually two campuses of Walter Reed near where I live. One is the main facility, a big structure that occupies dozens of acres along 16th Street in D.C. It is a stately, tree-shrouded compound that reminds me of McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts, another one of those grand pre-World War II-era brick behemoths. Whenever I drive by that main facility of Walter Reed, I always slow down, struggling to hold the steering wheel steady while I scan the hospital's long driveway and its massive porticoed entrance. A recent series of government cutbacks will soon mean the closure of this campus of Walter Reed, and the Washington Post a few months ago did a big story about the hospital's significance to D.C.'s economy and to the hundreds of mostly black workers who have earned good livings for generations at that facility. Closer to my home is a second campus of Walter Reed, the rehabilitative facility. It is here that hundreds of soldiers wounded in Iraq come for treatment and therapy. Once I learned the location of this part of Walter Reed, my curiosity ratcheted up another notch. Who are these young men and women being helicoptered in and out of the hospital, flying almost daily right over my house? Well, by early this year, I began to get some answers in the living, breathing forms of individuals that I spot on the streets of Silver Spring. In line at the bank, the supermarket, at local coffee shops, I now recognize these soldiers who spent time at Walter Reed. In many cases, they are recognizable by their close-cropped military haircuts, by their ramrod straight posture, by their fresh-scrubbed faces above crisp military jackets. In too many cases, though, they are also identifiable by another, less encouraging sign: prosthetic limbs. During one recent visit to a Panera bread and coffee shop in downtown Silver Spring, one glorious sunny day, I found myself in line behind a young man who had the erect bearing and shorn hair of an infantryman. He also had prosthetic legs sprouting from a pair of knee-length denim shorts. His new legs began at the knee, and they looked like hard plastic bats with sneakers on the titanium feet. He walked stiffly, his face impassive. At his side was a young, dark-haired woman who held the hand of a toddler, a girl. I tried not to stare at his legs, and when he turned around after placing his order, I smiled at him, hoping I didn't seem simpering or unduly sympathetic. He nodded at me with a tight smile and moved to the next counter to retrieve his order. The woman behind me, a middle-aged woman with graying blonde hair, tapped his arm and whispered something to this young man. And after he and his family were seated, I, in turn, tapped that woman on the shoulder. "Is he a serviceman?" I asked. "Yes, he is," she said, "and I just told him thank you." She added, "My husband's in the military, too, and I just wanted that young man to know how much we appreciate their sacrifice." I thanked her and moved along, disappointed in myself for not having mustered the courage to say something similar to that young soldier. But on the other hand, I don't know if what that young man lost, or if what any of those soldiers coming in and out of Walter Reed have lost, has truly made my life any better.
Amy Alexander is an author and media critic from Silver Spring, Maryland. This is NPR News.